Take your Bibles, if it's possible for you to do so, and you turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 38. I'm going to begin reading at verse 2 down through verse 10. Listen to what the Word of God says. Thus saith the Lord, he that remaineth in this city shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. But he that goeth forth to the Chaldeans shall live, for he shall have his life for a prey, and shall live. Thus saith the Lord, this city shall surely be given into the hand of the king of Babylon's army, which shall take it. Therefore the princes said unto the king, we beseech thee, let this man be put to death, for thus he weakeneth the hands of the men of war that remain in this city, and the hands of all the people, in speaking such words unto them, for this man seeketh not the welfare of this people, but to hurt. Then Zedekiah the king said, behold, he is in your hand, for the king is not he that can do anything against you. Then they took Jeremiah, and cast him into the dungeon of Melchiah, the son of Hamalek, that was in the court of the prison. And they let down Jeremiah with cords, and in the dungeon there was no water, but mire. So Jeremiah sunk in the mire. Now when Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, one of the eunuchs which was in the king's house, heard that they had put Jeremiah in the dungeon, the king then sitting in the gate of Benjamin, Ebed-Melech went forth out of the king's house and spake to the king, saying, my lord the king, these men have done evil in all that they have done to Jeremiah the prophet, whom they have cast into the dungeon, and he is like to die for hunger in the place where he is, for there is no more bread in the city. Then the king commanded Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, saying, take from thence 30 men with thee, and take up Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he die. Our subject today, lifted out of the pit. Today we shall look at the rescue of Jeremiah from the prison where he was thrown by the rulers and the king. In this lesson we shall see the great doctrines of grace that abound in the Scriptures. Listen carefully, as your soul may be at stake. Salvation is a rescue of the individual from the situation he is in, and he cannot get out by himself. He needs supernatural assistance, and it has to come from God, or he will never be delivered. Now our lesson will fall into these categories. First of all, Jeremiah is a picture of the sinner. Secondly, we find some definitions of the term grace, and then we find, thirdly, that what is it? We find a practical lesson leeway for our learning. So you follow along in your Bible, if it's possible for you to do so, and you listen like you've never listened before. Jeremiah here is a picture of the sinner without the Lord God of heaven at this present hour. Now notice, he was classified as being guilty of treason. In verse 4, the princes said unto the king, we beseech thee, let this man be put to death, for thus he weakeneth the hands of the men of war that remain in this city, and the hands of all the people, in speaking such words unto them, for this man seeketh not the welfare of this people, but the hurt. Here we find Jeremiah, a picture of the sinner. He, first of all, he was found guilty of treason in the eyes of the government. Now Jeremiah was telling the people the truth. He told the people to repent and surrender to Nebuchadnezzar or to perish. You'll find that in verse 2. Thus saith the Lord, he that remaineth in this city shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. But he that goeth forth to the Chaldeans shall live, for he shall have his life for a prey, and shall live. Thus saith the Lord, this city shall surely be given into the hand of the king of Babylon's army, which shall take it. Now Jeremiah was found guilty of treason in the eyes of the government. He told the people to repent and surrender to Nebuchadnezzar, or they would perish by the famine and by the pestilence and by the sword. All right. Now treason is the act of refusing to do the will of those that are in authority. Christ was accused of treason, and I'll tell you right now, you and I also are guilty of treason because we are told to repent, and we haven't done so. We are told also to keep the Ten Commandments, and we can't do so. And failure to repent before God makes us guilty of treason. Now the Lord said, in the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge this world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he has raised him from the dead. Now we find the failure of an individual to repent before God makes us guilty of treason. Always remember, God has given two commands that need to be fulfilled. The first one is to repent before God, and the second one is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and to love one another. And this is found in 1 John 3:23. Then we find the second thing of Jeremiah was this. He was under the sentence of death. Now you say, preacher, what are you talking about? In verse 6 we read, then they took Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Malchiah, the son of Hamilech, that was in the court of the prison, and they let down Jeremiah with cords. And in the dungeon there was no water but mire, so Jeremiah sunk in the mire. Now in verse 9, my lord the king, these men have done evil in all that they have done to Jeremiah the prophet, whom they have cast into the dungeon, and he is like to die for hunger in the place where he is, for there is no more bread in the city. What do we have here? Jeremiah was under the sentence of death. He was in the land of Judah, and we find he was under the sentence of death. But now, my friend, I want to tell you right now, every unsaved individual is also under the sentence of death. You say, well, what are you talking about? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then we find in John chapter 3 and verse 18, we read these words, he that believeth on the Son is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is a condemnation, that men love darkness rather than light, for their deeds were evil. And we find that's true at this present hour. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you ever stood before God guilty of treason before Him? Have you ever stood before God under the sentence of death? Oh, my friend, today, my hope and prayer is that the Holy Spirit of God is beginning to do that work already in your soul, if He hasn't done so. You see, without the work of the Holy Spirit, no individual can confess Jesus Christ as Lord, but through the Holy Ghost. And we find every sinner is guilty of treason in the eyes of God, and every sinner is under the sentence of death, as Jeremiah was, because of the fact that he was guilty of treason by the government. And we find every sinner is under the condemnation of the law of God, because it says very clearly in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 10, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. And then, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. And then here's our glorious answer. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you know what it means to be delivered from the law of God by the power of the Holy Spirit? Oh, I hope and pray that you do. Now let's look at Jeremiah again. He was found guilty of treason in the eyes of the government. Secondly, he was under the sentence of death because he was put in that dungeon. And in that dungeon there was no water, but there was mire, so it was mud. And Jeremiah was sunk up to his armpits in the mud of that dungeon, and he was held up there by the cords by which he was let down. And we find Jeremiah also was unable to effect a release. In Jeremiah chapter 38, we find again that when Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, one of the eunuchs which was in the king's house, heard that they had put Jeremiah in the dungeon, the king then sitting in the gate of Benjamin, Ebed-Melech went forth out of the king's house and spake to the king, saying, my lord the king, these men have done evil in all that they have done to Jeremiah the prophet, whom they have cast into the dungeon, and he is like to die for hunger in the place where he is, for there is no more bread in the city. All right? But then I want you to notice the next verse. Then the king commanded Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, saying, take from thence 30 men with thee, and take up Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he dies. So here's the third thing about Jeremiah. He was unable to effect a release by himself. And my friend, you might try to work your way to heaven. You might try to pray your way to heaven. You might try to baptize your way to heaven. You'll never get there, because the work's already been done between the Father and the Son. And you and I are lost sinners, And when we're lost sinners, we need the Lord God of heaven to step in and to effect a release in our behalf. And this is true at this present hour, because without the Lord stepping in and saving an individual, there is no salvation. For we are not saved by works, but we are saved by just. And we find out by the work of the Holy Spirit. We are saved not by the law, but we are saved by grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which he had ordained before that we should walk in them. Then we find Jeremiah was unable to effect a release. He was hopeless and helpless and hapless there. Fourthly, he was totally dependent upon supernatural health. And the same thing is true at this present hour. You've got to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ has got to rescue you from the pit of sin and from the condemnation that the individual is under, or that individual will never be converted. Now, Jeremiah was in this category. He was totally dependent upon supernatural health. And then we find also Jeremiah, also he was offensive with regard to the king Zedekiah. We find in verse 16, so Zedekiah the king sware secretly to Jeremiah, saying, as the Lord liveth that made us his soul, I will not put thee to death, neither will I give thee into the hand of these men that seek thy life. And then Jeremiah told the king these words. Then said Jeremiah unto Zedekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, if thou wilt assuredly go forth unto the king of Babylon's princes, then thy soul shall live, and the city shall not be burned with fire, and thou shalt live, and thine house. But if thou wilt not go forth to the king of Babylon's princes, then shall this city be given into the hand of the Chaldeans, and they shall burn it with fire, and thou shalt not escape out of their hand. Jeremiah was telling the king the truth, but are you listening? He was offensive unto the king, and are you listening? The sinner today is offensive unto God. God hates the workers of iniquity. And if you're not saved today, and you are doing the works of iniquity, put it down, my friend. God hates the workers of iniquity, and he will judge them unless they repent and come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's another thing we need to look at. Not only have we seen Jeremiah as a picture of the sinner, but we want to see also the procedure of grace in redemption. Now, let me give you a definition of grace, if I may. Grace is a provision of God for men so fallen they cannot lift the axe of justice, so corrupt they cannot change their own nature, so averse to God they cannot turn to him, so blind they cannot see him, so deaf they cannot hear him, and so dead that God himself must open their graves and lift them into the resurrection. And beloved, that's grace. And it's got to be sovereign grace. And we find, what does grace do? I'll tell you what it does. It does the same thing today that it did with Jeremiah. Grace seeks the approval of the king in rescuing the individual. Ebed-Melech was a servant of the king, and he's a picture of God the Holy Spirit, because he said these words. He said, my lord the king, these men have done evil in all that they have done to Jeremiah the prophet, whom they have cast into the dungeon, and he is like to die for hunger in the place where he is, for there is no more bread in this city. And what happened? Then the king commanded Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, saying, take from thence 30 men with thee, and take up Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he die. Now what do you have here? Here's the working of grace. Grace seeks the approval of the king in the rescuing the individual. Ebed-Melech was a servant of the king, and we find, what did he do? He sought for the permission of the king to rescue Jeremiah, and we find the Holy Spirit of God does the same thing at this present hour. You see, it is God gives a command for every individual to ever be saved. And now, that's what we're talking about. That means that God knows the time and the place and the method by which every individual is going to be saved. And how wonderful that is. Grace seeks the approval of the king in rescuing the sinner. And we find it did with Jeremiah, and is going on at this present hour. And then we see also, notice, grace is sent to where the sinner is living and existing. Where was Jeremiah? Then they took Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Melchiah. Where did Ebed-Melech find him? We find in verse 11, So Ebed-Melech took them in with him, and went into the house of the king under the treasury, and took thence old cast clouts and old rotten rags, and let them down by cords into the dungeon to Jeremiah. And we find grace seeks the approval of the king, and then what happens also, grace is sent to where the sinner is living and existing. I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. Don't try to clean up your life and then expect God to save you. No, sir, my friend, you've got to come to the Lord God of heaven just as you are. You come without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Because, you see, Ebed-Melech is a picture of the Holy Spirit. He was sent to Jeremiah to rescue Jeremiah. And then I want you to notice, there were specific means used in deliverance. Now, Ebed-Melech let down old rags by cords. And so we find the specific means used today for deliverance of the sinner is what? There's number one, the cords of the gospel. And what does it do? The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And if you repent and trust the Lord Jesus Christ, God will save you. And the cords of the gospel tells us very clearly that neither is there salvation in any other, for there is another name given among men whereby we must be saved. And there's only one mediator between God and man, and that's the man, Christ Jesus. What do we have here? There's the cords of the gospel, all right? There's the cords of love. That's why Ebed-Melech sought Jeremiah. That's why the Holy Spirit of God seeks out the sinner to bring that individual to Christ. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then what do you have? There's also the cords of blood and power. Now, where do you get blood? 30 is the number in the Bible that stands of blood. And then we find there was the cords of the gospel, the cords of love, the cords of blood and power, and then also there's the cords of faith, and then last of all, there's the cords of success. Was Ebed-Melech successful in rescuing Jeremiah? Yes, my friend, he was, because we find what you have here. And so they drew up Jeremiah with cords and took him up out of the dungeon, and Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. And what do you have here? Jeremiah was brought out of the prison, and we find this method was successful in his deliverance. Now, why do I tell you all this? Because here's a picture of grace. Grace seeks the approval of the king in rescuing. Grace is sent to where the sinner is living and existing. And then grace used specific means used in deliverance. I want to say to you very clearly, salvation does not consist of speaking in tongues, walking the aisle, or taking a preacher by the hand, or being baptized. Salvation is the revelation of Christ by the Holy Spirit to the individual, so that the individual knows Christ, and Christ knows the individual. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Do you know what I'm talking about? Oh, I hope and pray that you do. Until we meet again, this is Pastor Nortier of the Mercies of God saying goodbye for now, and oh, may the Lord spare you before it's too late.